We'll be referencing back to the previous passages which the author of Hebrews has just finished. You might want to keep your finger in your Bibles to look back at those preceding pages. Athletic competitions were popular in Greek culture during biblical era and used many times in the New Testament to refer to how we should view our life with Jesus. The author makes the comparison to our running a race that is set before us. The race is an analogy of the Christian life. We do not sprint in this race, but take our whole lives to reach our finish line, our final goal of conforming to and becoming like Jesus. A race has a set course with guidelines on how you participate and a final goal or finish line. The racers strive to complete the course. It is not an easy stroll. It requires effort to run in a race. The contestants train for long hours, pushing their bodies to the limits while preparing for the final event. They discipline their bodies for the effort required to win the race. The race spoken of in this part of Hebrews is not a sprint, but rather a long run, a marathon, if you will. It requires the participants to keep up a level of exertion that will allow them to run the race for a long period of time. Athletes who run marathons train for them by running long distances over and over again, building up their lungs and legs for the endurance needed. For in a long race, speed is not the most important thing. Perseverance and endurance are what wins. Think of the tortoise and the hare. The hare was an obviously faster runner than the tortoise. Rabbits run at great speed while turtles move quite slowly. Yet the tortoise wins the race because he endured the difficulty of a long race, while the hare, becoming bored with the run and assuming an easy victory, slowed down and was distracted from his goal by his own selfish interests. In the same way, we are to pursue our race with perseverance, keeping the finish line in view and not becoming distracted by the world around us. Likewise, a cheetah is very fast, the fastest mammal on the planet. He lies in wait for a gazelle herd to come near and then springs out and tries to bring down one of them. But the gazelle does not need to run faster than the cheetah to get away. It needs to run longer than the cheetah. If the cheetah does not grasp its victim quickly, it tires and the gazelle runs off. A cheetah has speed, but no endurance. We need to develop endurance in our race. We are not to think that a little bit of effort will get us to our goal. We must pursue our finish line daily. We must participate in our sanctification daily and not think we have reached it yet or can take time off. This can be different for different people. It may involve daily Bible study or devotions or prayer or all of the above. It will be unique for you and may change over time, but it is not something we can neglect or take for granted. The race is to be run with endurance, which requires constant effort and discipline. Runners also dress for their race. They do not put on heavy boots and overcoats to run. Neither do they strap on a backpack and carry packages or suitcases with them as they run. These things would slow them down. They would steal energy from the runner's body that is needed for the long race and make it much more difficult to finish. Modern runners wear shorts and tank tops made of very lightweight material. Their shoes are light and do not drag down their feet. Every effort is made to lighten their load so as to let them expend their energy running and not carrying extra weight. In the same way, Hebrews tells us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. The weight we carry can be different things for different people. Do you carry worldly cares? Perhaps you're burdened with concern for career or family or wealth. Do these things distract you from and keep you from pursuing Christ? Or maybe you carry guilt from past sins, past mistakes. Maybe you even feel guilty because you've not pursued Christ as you ought to and carry that guilt with you, letting it prevent you from study and prayer. Or maybe it's a fear of what others will think of you if you share the gospel. All these and many more weigh us down and hinder our running of the race. We're told in this passage to lay these things aside. A runner needs to lighten his load in order to finish the race. And we must lay aside the sin which clings so closely, the sins of idolatry, of sloth, of envy, of hatred, and so many more. They're too numerous to name. Lay aside that sin and the weight it bears and run unencumbered. If you've ever watched the Olympics running events, you probably remember the stadiums filled with people cheering as the runners competed. In the same way, the author of Hebrews points out in chapter 11 that we have a great cloud of witnesses who watch as we run. Some are named, and then we're told there are too many to name them all. These cheer us on as we struggle to run our race. They lived their lives and, through faith, did great things for God. Let's look at a few and see how faithful they were and why they are part of the great cloud. First is Abraham. He obeyed God and left his homeland, not even knowing where God was leading him, trusting that God would protect and guide him on his journey. Yet when he found himself in strange lands, he told his wife that she should tell others that she was not his wife, that he was his sister. She was his sister. Sarah was beautiful, and Abraham thought that if they knew she was his wife, he might be killed, so the local ruler could then take her. But if she was his sister, Abraham would be in no danger. He lied about who he and Sarah were, thinking he could protect himself better than God could. God had promised to take him to a new land and to make great nations out of him, but Abraham did not trust God to keep those promises. So he lied about Sarah, and he did so twice. It seems his faith was strong at times, as when he left his homeland for who knows where, but at other times, it was too weak for him to trust God. Is that how our faith is sometimes? We trust God, and then we don't. We let the things around us distract us from our race and decide to take matters into our own hands. Abraham did not do well when he lied about his wife, but was much more successful when he fully trusted God and obeyed and was counted among the faithful. Do you find that to be the same in your life? That you do better when you trust God fully instead of trying to do things in your own strength and in your own way? Let's look at another from this great cloud of witnesses. Samson is mentioned by name. Most people know about Samson only what they remember from the movies. He's not the first person anyone thinks of when they think of heroes from the Bible. His life, as told in the book of Judges, is one of disobedience and self-gratification. He served God at times, but did not lead an exemplary life. He did what was right in his own eyes, marrying a forbidden woman, killing 30 men to get their clothes to settle a debt, other selfish things. But he also followed God as best he could at times and ended his life as a slave to God's enemies, killing himself while killing them by collapsing the pagan temple they were in. No one seeks to emulate Samson in their lives. His name is not a common one selected today to name new babies. Yet here he is, listed as one of the great cloud of witnesses along with Abraham. Samson again and again disobeyed God and let himself be distracted by personal wants, and he is still part of this great cloud. Lastly, let's look at a true hero of the Bible, someone known and admired. I'm speaking, of course, of King David. David, who has been referred to as a man after God's own heart. He was king of Israel and established them as a strong nation. He also desired a woman who was not his wife and committed adultery. When the woman's husband became a problem, David had him murdered. He caused a plague to fall on Israel when he disobeyed God and other notable acts. David constantly sinned against God and then repented and was forgiven. He would suffer the consequences of his actions, but was always restored to God's favor. We speak of the marvelous things David did in faith and how God used him to build the kingdom. Yet David was a very flawed individual. He committed sins most of us cannot imagine doing. Still, there he is in the great cloud of witnesses, cheering us on as we run. What are we to make then of this cloud of witnesses? Imagine as you run your race, you look up at the cheering crowd and think, that one is a liar. That one is a thief. Then that one is a murderer. Not a very motivating group, is it? Well, after all, these people are from the Old Testament. As the author of Hebrews tell us, they looked forward to the promise, but they did not live to see it. So let's look to the heroes of the New Testament, who surely must now be part of this great cloud of witnesses. They came too late to be included in the list given, but surely by now they watch us also, along with their Old Testament compatriots. Let's look at someone, say, like Peter. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. He heard all of Jesus' teachings, saw him perform many miracles. Peter was warned by Jesus that he, Peter, would betray the master, and Peter denied that it could be true. Why, he would lay down his life for Jesus. But later that same night, Peter denied he even knew the man. After all he had seen and heard, Peter placed worldly concerns before his race. He was more concerned that he would be arrested if he was a follower of Jesus than he was concerned that he actually follow the master. Now Jesus forgave Peter and used him in mighty ways to further the kingdom and establish the church. And eventually, Peter was arrested for admitting to being a follower of Jesus and was killed. But you have to wonder, as Peter went about Jesus' work here on earth, did he see himself as a terrible sinner? Having lived with and seen and knew who Jesus was, Peter still denied him. Peter must have thought, no one could betray Jesus more than I have. No one could hurt him as much as I have. Then Saul of Tarsus shows up and says, here, hold my beer and watch this. Saul was a Pharisee. In fact, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, according to himself. He had studied the Old Testament scriptures and sought to serve God. He did so by not just denying who Jesus was, but by attempting to destroy the new faith that had arisen in Jesus' name by imprisoning those who followed Christ. He went so far as to have some of them killed. And when he ran out of victims in Jerusalem, he began to travel to other cities to exterminate this strange religion. As we know, he finally was confronted by the very Jesus he sought to deny and became the Apostle Paul, writing half of the books of the New Testament. Each of the people listed in this great cloud of witnesses have something in common. They all failed at times. It would be nice to think of biblical heroes as people who never sinned or failed God, but that is not the way they were. They were people just like me, just like you. They sought to obey God and do what they knew he wanted them to do. They often did just that. But they also failed to do the right things, sometimes spectacularly so. They are still listed as part of this great cloud of witnesses, not because of what they did, but because of their faith. Their faith in the promises of God and his coming Messiah. They never saw the results of their belief. The promise did not come until hundreds of years after they had died. But they still believed God, and it was counted to them as righteousness. And it is this same faith that we must use to run our race. Not a race in a future promise, but a faith in a present Jesus. Let me repeat that. Our faith is not in a future promise. It is in a present Jesus. The text states this plainly. When we were told to run the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Now, the word founder used here could also be translated as author or leader. Jesus has led the way for our faith to follow. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And the cross was shameful. It was so bad that Roman law prohibited Roman citizens from being crucified, which is why Peter was crucified, but Paul was not. Paul was beheaded. He was a Roman citizen. The Jews believed anyone hung on a tree was cursed. Jesus was stripped, beaten, and hung by his limbs in full view of the crowd. But he despised the shame that went with this treatment. He thought of it as nothing compared to what waited for him afterwards. Do you sometimes worry more about the circumstances surrounding your race than you do about the race itself? Look to Jesus. Follow his example. For it wasn't just the cross he had to endure. He gave up his rightful position in heaven to be born a poor baby. He grew up on earth, suffering the same temptations we all suffer, yet he was without sin. His whole life was spent obeying God's law. He succeeded where we fail. So we must follow him and look to his example when running our race. He, as the founder, the leader of our faith, shows us the way to run, the way to reach the finish line. Because he's not just the founder of our faith, he's also the perfecter, or the completer of our faith. Our faith is a gift of God, but he didn't just give it to us and say, here you go, here's your faith, take good care of this and use it the best you can. No, Jesus completes our faith and makes it strong when we are weak. Through his example, he shows us how to live. Through his encouragement, he cheers us on when we run our race. Imagine, if you will, all the witnesses in that great cloud. They are cheering for you. They are watching you run and egging you on. They cheer when you succeed and chide when you fail. I suppose that is encouraging in its own way. But does the time come when you fail and fail again? And remember this great cloud. They are chiding you and urging you to go on, and you say to them, who are you to chide me? You didn't always do well yourself. It's hard, isn't it, to take criticism for failing to do something from someone who failed to do the same thing? It's easy to become indignant and angry at such people. If they're so smart, why didn't they succeed? Well, one of those watching us did succeed. Jesus did what we cannot do, and he stands ready and able to help us run our race. For he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Who better to encourage and strengthen us in our run? Remember this great cloud of witnesses. They ran their race in faith and completed it, even though they never saw the promise of Jesus, the Messiah. Their faith in God was what made their run successful, not something they did themselves. We have an advantage over them in that we have the revelation of Jesus to guide us. He has shown us the way to run and is there to help us run successfully. Are you running your race today? When you stumble again, and you will stumble again, look to Jesus to encourage you and help you up. Have you stopped running your race? Have you been sidelined for a while, feeling as though you can't run anymore? You've messed up too badly. You just can't see how to get going again. Think about Peter. I wonder if anyone here has betrayed Jesus more so than he did. He denied even knowing who Jesus was. Yet he was forgiven, and I would suggest he carried on and ran a very good race, one that glorified God, and when he reached his finish line, he heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Look to Jesus to do for you the very same thing he did for Peter, and start running again. Or maybe you don't yet know Jesus. Maybe like Saul of Tarsus, you kick against the goads and persecute Christ. You've led the wrong kind of life and think God cannot use you and certainly cannot want you. If God can take someone like Saul, who sought to kill those who believed in Jesus, and turn him into Paul, who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, he can do much with you also. You have not strayed so far that Jesus cannot find you and bring you back. If you do not have a saving faith in Jesus today, please don't leave here before speaking with one of the elders. If you are running your race, look to Jesus for help and encouragement. If you have paused in your race, look to Jesus to encourage you and help you get started again. And if you have not yet begun to run your race, look to Jesus to find the starting line. Please pray with me. Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to you for our guidance and our encouragement as we run our race. Be with us today and tomorrow and always, leading the way forward as we strive towards the finish line. In your name we pray. Amen.